here, let's pray. We'll continue in worship and prayer. Father, thank you for that beautiful hymn. Thank you for how you touch people's hearts. You inspire people's hearts to communicate your truth through song, through poetry, through writing. And then you touch people's hearts and you give talents to play instruments and to sing and to share it with us. And you touch our own hearts where we can participate in that. Things that we take for granted so often. What a gift music is. What a gift, how it touches our soul and our spirit. And so we're grateful for that. Father, we come this morning to gather together, to give you worship, to declare your greatness, your goodness, your kindness towards us, and to be reminded of that. We forget, our hearts just absolutely forget how much you love us. And so you called us together in the Ten Commandments. It's one of the commands, honor the Sabbath as a day of rest. And so in that, we come together to rest, to commune with one another, to speak truth and encouragement to one another, to remind each other of the good news of the gospel, that we have a God who cares for all of our needs. We have thirsty souls. And we confess, Lord, that we go to every other brook that this world has to offer to quench the thirsting of our souls, and nothing satisfies except for you. I know that we're all in different places spiritually, and some of us have discovered the great satisfaction that Jesus brings. Some of us are in the process of that. Some of us are on the outside, sort of looking in with curiosity. I pray today that you would touch our hearts and our souls, every one of us, that your Holy Spirit would be active and at work in each of our lives. We all bring heavy hearts in some regard of fear, of anxiety, of worry, of need. You know what that is, specific to each one of us. I pray that we would experience your living water, that you would meet us where we have need, and that we would find comfort, knowing that our circumstances may be difficult, but we have a God who loves us, who is with us, and who is using even our difficult circumstances for our good. Thank you, Father, for bringing Terry Tencher here to church. I know there are some health challenges this past week, emergency room visit, and we're grateful that you're restoring his health and that you've brought him and Carrie here. We give you praise and we give you glory. We do pray for Janie and for Hannah and for their team in Peru. We pray for Lacey and their team in Jamaica. We pray your blessings over them as they seek to represent your kingdom and shine the light of your love in those places. Lord, may the light of your love shine in this place. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so few things. We got some kind of moving pieces today. We're starting a new series. I've got a quick word to kind of recap about last week. Ray did such a great job in Jude. Last week, I was so grateful for that. It's tough to cover. It's one chapter, but it's even then, it's tough to cover a whole thing in one message. But that was so good. I had a thought. I told him during the week, I said, I want to communicate this one thing. I knew you couldn't get to it, but I'll communicate. So I'll do that. Talk about last week for a minute. Talk about this week. And then talk about next week with House Church. If you are a House Church host, I think Patricia, the Campbells, I'm not sure, and then us, and I'm not sure the others are here, but we have a big red bag by the door along with a yard sign. So that's for you. It's got everything you need, all the handouts, coffee cups, plates, just all that stuff. Make sure you get your stuff before you leave, and then I'll give you recaps on that. House Church is going to be great next week. I really do hope all of you participate. It's one of the highlights of the year. I don't know that we did it last year, but we got two this year. As Ray announced earlier, this next Sunday, and again, we will not be here this next Sunday, it's a great opportunity to invite friends and neighbors. If you're hosting, it's a great way to invite your neighbors. Come over to your home. And then we're going to do it again July 19th, and it's the same groups meeting both Sundays in the same places because, as Ray mentioned, the goal is just to get to know each other a little bit, and that adds a lot of fuel to the fellowship that we have on Sundays when we have a little bit of time and space through House Church to just, you know, where were you born? Where are you from? How'd you find the church? You know, what's your story? Did you grow up in church? Did you grow up in another religion? Did you grow up with no, you know, what did that look like? So I'll talk about that more in a few minutes, but just wanted to announce that. Let's see, what else? I made some notes on things to touch base on. Ah, I think I got it. Okay, so we're starting this summer. We said, what can we do that would be light and fun, but also just encouraging and edifying and just a blessing? And so we came up with Psalms, Proverbs, and Parables. And so we're going to kind of rotate through the summer. Today, we're sort of kicking that off with Psalm 42. There are 150 Psalms, so they're, you know, how do you know which one to pick? That was part of my thing. How do I know which Psalm? But I'm just letting the Lord lead. And God put this on my heart over the last few weeks, Psalm 42. It's a beautiful Psalm. We read part of the scripture to open up the service. We sang Psalm 42, basically, as our last song that we sang. And I thought, let's do that today. And so my hope is for just to kind of walk through and let God minister to you through it. There are, I should have mentioned, at the back table, we're going to have it up on the screen, but there are light green printed copies of Psalm 42. So if you want to, feel free to get up and they're at the back table, grab one. If you want to, I think there's some pens, you can make notes, whatever you want to do. But that's back there, along with a worship guide for today. We always mention that. But we're going to walk through that, make some observations, and then if there's time, I have it's a 12-minute video. I normally don't like to play stuff that long, but I didn't know how to cut it down, and it's all got really good stuff. And I thought, that's such a great preparation for house church in terms of why do we do house church? Why do we do church the way that we do it? And this video is AI-generated. There's a lot of interesting AI stuff, but this was really good. I've watched it probably 10 times. If there's time, we'll do it. If not, I'll send it out this week and you can watch it then. But let's dive in. Recap about Jude last week. The main point, I thought it was so good. You know, kind of the gist of Jude was Jude is a half-brother of Jesus, and he was just saying, we are under attack. And so how do we respond? And the main point was verse 20 and 21. I don't think any of this is on the screen, but if you were here, you'll recall, you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Building, praying, keeping, and waiting. Those were the main points, my main takeaways from the message last week. But as I was thinking and Ray was preaching is, you know, we're talking about those that attack us. And they were attacking the early church, and we're always going to have those outside of the church that are attacking the church and attacking Christians. And I thought it's helpful to have some guidance in terms of how do we respond to the attackers? Because my instinct is to push back, get defensive, get angry, and attack back, right? How do we respond? Well, Jude gave some insight into that in verses 22 and 23. I just wanted to share that, and then we'll move on to Psalm 22. But I thought this was so good. How do we respond to those who are attacking? And he says, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Snatching them from the fire as you were snatched from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear of God. Hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh, have a desire for God's holiness, have be reminded of God's mercy and his compassion in your own life, and don't push back and don't attack back, but run after them and try to snatch them for the fire as we were snatched. So that's just the one thing that I would add from last week that was so good, and that's what Christians are about, that's what the church is about, it's about love. It's about sharing the same hope that's been shared with us. And so I just want to mention that. I love that phrase, though. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Snatching them from the fire. So that's our role. That's what we want to do. We've said this church, we meet here. Kind of our vision and our thought is we're an outpost of the kingdom of God. There are people that are so done with church as I was for many years. Been hurt by religion. Been just, you know. They want God. They're interested in faith. They don't know where to go because they're just done. Every church experience, they're like, it's not real. I don't know how to connect with God through all this religious stuff. And so they just go dormant. And so we've tried. And We are pro-church. I'm pro every church that's out there, and God's using all these churches, but we wanted to offer a different expression where people might say, you know, okay, they're meeting in a brewery. That says that maybe there's maybe this experience is not going to be the same as my past experience. So that's our hope, is that we, as we were snatched from the fire, that others would walk in and find salvation. So Psalm 42. All right. What's the purpose of the Psalms? You know, King David wrote many or maybe most or half of the Psalms. I don't even know the number, but he was a writer of a lot of the Psalms. The sons of Korah, Asaph, Moses wrote one of the Psalms, but Psalms, they're songs. They're songs. It's what they sang. Just like we sing here, that's what they had. That's what they sang. So what's the purpose of the Psalms? For them and for us, the Psalms are such a blessing. If in your time with the Lord on a regular basis, you can incorporate the Psalms, they're good because they help us express what's in our heart. That's what the psalmists did. They expressed the emotions of praise, of worship, of gratitude, of grief, of sorrow, anger, desperation, despair, hope, joy, love, every expression. And it tells us these psalms, when we read them, and we see these in all of them, it tells us we can be honest with God. We don't have to come to God with pretense and religious pretending. He wants us to be ourselves. He wants us to say, God, I am mad at you. I am ticked. Or God, I am so sorrowful. I don't know what to do. I'm experiencing such darkness, hopelessness. Or God, I'm so grateful. My heart is so full of joy right now. You know, all these things. God wants us just to come and tell him what's in our heart. He knows what's in our heart. And when we do that, he meets us in an intimate, special way. Psalms are great for prayer. They can guide us in our prayer. You can read a psalm and just turn it into a prayer. So if you have trouble and struggle with praying like I do, and so many people, most Christians would say my biggest challenge in following God and walking in faith is just prayer. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, right? Most of us would say, I don't know what I'm doing, or I fall asleep, or I get distracted, or, you know, that's normal. If that's you, that's normal. But the Psalms are good. They can give you guidance. You just read a psalm and you turn it into a prayer. You just turn it back to God. So the Psalms are very useful. This morning's psalm, I'll move into Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 actually go together. Psalm 43, we're not going to get into 43, and 42 can stand alone. They were separated out, and they're fine as standalones. But Psalm 43 is like two or three more verses of this big psalm, right? So, but we're just going to do Psalm 42 today. And I'm going to read it, make some comments. But as we read it, I want you to be, like, hear it, like, read it with me. Let your soul, let your mind, let your heart engage with this as we go through it. And just see how the Lord speaks to you through it. I'll just read the psalm and we'll talk about it. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? So just a pause. We think David may have written this, but we also think it could have been written by some of the sons of Asaph, who were in charge of worship in the temple. But if it was David, it could have been written while he was running for his life when King Saul was pursuing him. And he's just going, you know, he's expressing, my tears have been my food day and night. And he says, where can I go and meet with God? He deeply desires to go back to be here with God's people in God's presence in a place of worship. Moving on. But people say to me all day long, where is your God? They're scoffers, doubters, just trying to bury him, you know, kicking a horse while he's down. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. He's talking about this incredible experience of going and being with God's people in worship. And then he says this in verse 5, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" And then he speaks to his soul, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you." He's responding, he's expressing downcast, soul and spirit. But then he doesn't stay there. He speaks to his soul. He says, "I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep and the roar of your waterfalls." This is sorrow calls to sorrow calls to sorrow. He's despairing. "All your waves and breakers have swept over me." Where did these waves and breakers come from? He's saying, they're from you. He's angry, he's hurt, he's grieving, but he's also truthful. Our God controls all things, and he uses all things for our good and for his glory. "All your waves and breakers have swept over me." How many of you can relate to some of this stuff? Having a downcast soul and spirit, feeling like just when things get bad, they get 100 times worse. And just when things get 100 times worse, they get even worse than that. Deep calls to deep. "All your waves are breakers have swept over me." But then he says this, "By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Isn't that beautiful? His song is with me at night. Songs in the night. Many a times for us, there's just in the dark, it feels dark. But it's in those times, in despair, we cry out to God. Run to God. Don't run from him. And David, or whoever, the sons of Asaph, are saying, his song is with me in the night, in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of life, his song is with me. "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" You know, there's somebody else who said something along the lines of, "Why have you forgotten me?" You remember one of Jesus' words from the cross? Some of his, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus connects and relates to all of this. He identifies with all of it. "My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God?" That's Jesus' experience on the cross. This was written 1,000 years before Jesus came. "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" Again, why are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? And he speaks to his soul again. "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." You know, when we are able to give praise, we make a decision to give praise to God through our tears. It's the most, it's an aroma of blessing, of praise that God receives. It's a fragrant aroma that's unlike any other. When he sees us and he loves us and he knows us and we are despairing and we're weeping and we're still praising him. And it's good for us too when that happens. We don't need to despair. We don't ever need to despair, but we do. So when we do, we speak to our soul and we remind ourselves, you have a heavenly Father who loves you, who takes care of you, who sees you, who knows you, who is with you, and who knows everything that you're going through to the 1,000th degree, as Jesus did on the cross. So that's the psalm, Psalm 42. The grief portrayed in this psalm is a very particular sadness, one felt supremely by Jesus, most especially in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's very sorrowful. He's cast down. He appears to be despairing, but he's speaking to his soul and his spirit. "Yet not my will, but thine be done. Thine be the glory." Because Jesus has walked this way as our sacrifice and our great high priest, he is able to sympathize with us. He is not a God who does not understand our sorrows or our griefs. He does. He himself has entered into the same crashing waves of grief that we enter into. Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 4, these are great verses. I don't think they're up here. They might be. I don't remember. This came this morning. Hebrews 2, 17 through 18. For this reason, he had to be made like them. Jesus had to be made like us. For what reason? He was fully human in every way. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He can help us because he's been there. He's done that. And then Hebrews 4 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he didn't sin. So there's hope because he made it through every temptation. Let us then approach the throne of God's grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Isn't that a great promise and instruction? Jesus has been there and he's done that. And he passed every single test of temptation on this earth. And because of that, we can go to him with confidence. And when we do, we're going to receive mercy and we're going to receive grace. I've mentioned before, but to me, one of the takeaways, one of the important things of this psalm is that we need to speak to our soul, to tell ourselves the truth. We need to speak that to one another. Do not let your soul and your spirit hit despair. I was despairing this past week. I can tell you the job search thing with a 16-year-old, as Laura mentioned, it was challenging. And I'm like, thank goodness I'm in Psalm 42, but I was not wanting to read Psalm 42. Because I wanted to be angry. I wanted to be ticked off. And I had to work my way through that. And God is patient. He lets us do that. But God made that personal this week for me and for us. Fortunately, we're in a good place. Jesus provides deliverance from the storm because he himself, as well as being the one who sings the Psalms, Jesus sang the Psalms. You know, we read at the Last Supper that when they left the room, they left singing a psalm, singing psalms. Jesus knows, he knew all these. They're all about him. But in addition to being the one who sings them, he will prove to be the one on whom our faith rests as we sing the psalms with him. He invites us to sing these psalms with him and to him. We can have grief, and we will have grief in our life, but because of Jesus, because of the hope that we have in him, our grief can be accompanied by a rich hope. Grief and hope. Jesus said in John 7, as we think about the deer panting for the waters, thirsty soul. Jesus went to the feast, and at the end of the feast, he stood up and he proclaimed, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. That deer comes to drink from the spring, from the stream, from the river. Jesus is the river. Jesus is the one that deer, that thirsty soul, is coming to drink from. The only one that will receive quenching from our thirst. The other side of that is that outside of Christ, we don't have any hope. This psalm does not apply to us outside of Christ. If we're despairing, that's good. That should be the red alarm light going off on our dashboard, going, check engine. But inside of Christ, we have hope. We have hope. Jesus is the stream. Only he can satisfy the deepest longings of our thirsty soul. And that's good news. So in wrapping this message up today, while we're on vacation, some of the pre-service music you heard is like reggae, some of the great hymns of faith. It's all AI stuff. AI is like unbelievable, some of the stuff that they're putting out. But one of the songs was Psalm 42. It wasn't As the Deer, as we sang earlier, but it was Psalm 42, and I heard it, and I've listened to it probably 50 times in the last 2 weeks. And the lyrics on this will be on the screen, but they're also on the green sheet on the back. But I loved it. I thought we'd bring it in and play it and just let it wash over us in light of the teaching, in light of the psalm. And if you're looking at the lyrics, I think I have it up here as well. You'll see numbers, like you'll see a 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4 through 6. That's just to denote this corresponds with the verses in Psalm 42. So you can kind of see how it connects and how it relates. So we'll listen to this and then we'll continue.
Dry land stretches far and wide, where living waters are denied. A longing deep within my chest, a search for comfort and for rest. My spirit cries out in the night for the presence of the Lord of Light. As the deer pants for the water stream, so my soul cries out for thee, it seems. My heart is thirsty for the living God, the place where I have always trod. When shall I come and stand before the face of him whom I adore? My tears have been my daily bread, while scornful voices mock and said, where is your God, the one you claim? Why does he hide his mighty name? I remember days of joy and praise, walking with him through sunlit haze. Now waves of sorrow crash on me, a restless deep and troubled sea.
Why are you cast down,
O my soul?
Why are you troubled and
down at home? For he will surely work his will. As the deer pants for the water stream, so my soul cries out for thee, it seems. My heart is thirsty for the living God, the place where I have always trod. When shall I come and stand before the face of him whom I adore? By day the Lord commands his grace, by night I sing within this place, a prayer to God, my life's true rock. I wait upon his gentle knock. He is the health of my countenance, my strong and sure deliverance. He sends his light and sends his truth to guide me from my troubled youth.
Why are you cast down,
O my soul?
Why are you troubled
and not whole?
Hope in the Lord and praise him still.
For he will surely work his will. As the deer pants for the water stream, so my soul cries out for thee, it seems. My heart is thirsty for the living God, the place where I have always trod. When shall I come and stand before the face of him whom I adore? Soulful minor key, I'm an organ solo, a
expressing the deep longing, and then transition into a hopeful major key resolution, driven by the steady bass and drum groove. Oh, 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 oh. I will recall the time we met, the promises I can't forget. I will pour out my heart to thee from this dark place where I now be. I know the water will be found on holy consecrated ground. My expectation is from him, though all the world looks dark and dim. Put your trust in the salvation of his face. I will yet praise him, I declare, the answer to my silent prayer. As the deer pants for the water stream, so my soul cries out for thee, it seems. My heart is thirsty for the living God, the place where I have always trod. When shall I come and stand before the face of him whom I my soul be still, your waiting is done. The battle fought, the victory won. The living God, he hears your plea and brings his perfect peace to thee. Whoa.
That good. Kind of a reflection, and we'll wrap it up. But as we've said clearly through this, we all experience grief. We all experience sorrow. This psalm is talking about how we go to God. We bring that to God, and he brings comfort. He quenches the thirst of our dry and parched souls. But we also bring it to one another. And that's the purpose of the church. We're not intended to live in isolation as believers. We have to encourage one another. When some of us are experiencing the goodness of God, it may be your role to remind others, God is good in spite of your circumstances. He's good. He's your provider. He loves you. He's your sustainer. Some of us may have needs in the church, and over the months and years, many times there are situations in our lives where we don't feel like, you know, we just are carrying the burden alone, whether it's an emotional burden, a relational burden, a financial burden, whatever it may be, we're carrying it alone because we don't want to burden other people. But that's the calling that we have as believers, is to share and carry one another's burdens. So when we don't share, and I'm guilty of this too, but that's pride. It's pride. We have to humble ourselves and say, here is, and we go to, maybe start with a pastor or a friend that you may have in the community or a friend in the church to say, this is what I'm struggling with. And I need somebody to carry this burden. I need somebody to share this burden with me. And it's our calling as a body of Christ to do that with one another. Now, we can't always fix things. We want to, but we don't know how sometimes. So we say, well, you know what? I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to seek the Lord's wisdom to say, how can we help? How can we bring relief? How can we chart a new path of provision? So that's our calling. I don't have time to play the video that I wanted to show, but I will make it available this week and possibly at house church next week. It can be something that we start off with. But the gist of the video, it talks about the difference between modern church and the early church. And it says, you know, worship is good. Coming together to worship is good. But one of the things that's gotten lost is the early church was called to come together to edify one another. What does edify mean? It means to encourage. And there's no space in that oftentimes in modern church. There's no space in that. It's built around a worship experience. And we come in, and even though we're in a room, we call it communal congregational worship. But oftentimes in our modern church experience, we come in by ourselves or with our family or friends. We come in, we sit down, we don't really have, there's not really a environment that's conducive to talk to one another. We don't have friendships, relationships. We sing, we hear announcements, we're inspired, we hear a message, and then we kind of get up and walk back out, get in our car and go home. And we haven't been encouraged by anybody else. We haven't had an opportunity to encourage anybody else. And that's part of why we want to do the house church things. It's part of why I mentioned last week, why there's time in our service to hear what's good news in your life. What's a verse that the Lord has encouraged you with? Just to hear from one another, be encouraged by one another. I'll finish with this. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says this: "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together? Each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." Paul's describing to the Corinthian church what their time together looks like. And he's saying it needs to be ordered, needs to be done. There needs to be some structure, not chaos. But he says, when you come together, some of you may have a hymn or a song. Some of you may have a word of instruction or encouragement, a revelation from God. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. We all participate in the building up of the church and of one another. And then I'll close with this quote from Nikki Gumbel. Before I read the quote, I'll just say next week with House Church, we've got some great guidance. We're going to use I've told the host, you can do whatever you want in your home, but we'll provide some stuff. The Bible in 1 year devotional for next Sunday is perfect for our House Church gathering because it's all about getting to know each other's stories. And it focuses on the stories of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, of the Apostle Paul and how he came to faith. And so it sort of sets that up, and it'll be a great time. I encourage you guys all to go. But Nikki Gumbel says this, who wrote the Bible in 1 year daily reading and devotional about 1 Corinthians 14:26. "People, both men and women, did not come just as consumers, but as contributors. The question we should ask is not, what am I getting out of church? Although that's a legitimate question. We should get something. We should get some encouragement. But what am I giving out at church? They did not come just to receive, but also to help others. If we all come to church with this attitude of being a contributor, it will totally transform our services of worship and our impact in our community." So just a great vision, a great thing to be mindful of. Again, I'll share the video link this week. And if nothing else, it provoked my thought. And I think it will for you and be an encouragement as well. So let me close in prayer and we'll finish our service with song. Father, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Thank you for the Psalms, which express all of the emotions of the heart. Thank you that Jesus knows everything that we've been through. He is our high priest. He is a dispenser of grace and mercy, and we can come before his throne with confidence. Oftentimes we hesitate to come before his throne because we know our sin, we know our addiction to sin, and we experience shame and guilt from that more than we experience forgiveness and grace. But Jesus came, you came to take away our guilt and our shame. You took all that on the cross so that we can walk through life with total forgiveness. Total forgiveness, not because of us, but because of you. You've dispensed that out of your grace. You've covered us. We are totally forgiven in Christ. And because of that, we can walk with freedom and with joy. And so we ask that you would touch our souls, touch our spirit this morning, whatever burden we're carrying, whatever worry or fear or need that we have, that you would touch us and that we would hear your voice say, "You are my child. I love you. Let me quench the thirst of your soul." We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.